My name is Owen Flynn, and welcome to episode 125 of the Trail Running Ireland podcast, sponsored by New Leaf Online Health Store. In this week's show, we've got the new president of the Irish Mountain Running Association, Liam Vines, to talk to us about his new role and his thoughts on 2026 and his love of the mountains. And we have Rennie Borg from Running Coach Ireland to talk to us about our most important coaching lesson of the year. Consistency, not perfection, is king. Everyone, get your running gear on. Let's go. Hey guys, how are you? Hope you're all well and enjoying the build up to Christmas and avoiding the many flus and colds out there. We've got a really enjoyable episode for you today. Hopefully something for everybody between our two chats with Liam and Rennie coming up. And of course, we've got our 10% discount from our super sponsor, New Leaf Online Health Store, owned by Imra Runner and 100-mile UTMB finisher. It's always nice to say that, isn't it? UTMB finisher, Mairead O'Keefe. So do make sure to use the code FUELUP, lowercase or uppercase, and you'll get 10% off their full range of sports nutrition products. And I got an order in myself actually for some Tailwind Christmas presents for my dad, who himself is on the mountains every weekend, still going strong. And I ordered his stuff late on Thursday night, and the package arrived by Saturday lunchtime. So you can't do much better than that in terms of speed of delivery. Before we call in Rennie for our coaching segment, a quick shout out to a regular listener of the podcast, Sean Boland from Cherry Orchard Running Club, who is setting up a new trail running section in the club over the next few weeks. Good luck with it, Sean. You often see Sean and his son, Sean Meehan, and the Cherry Orchard Running Club members at trail races all over the country, always bringing lots of positive energy everywhere they go. So if you are looking for a new challenge in a team and club environment, definitely worth considering Sean and the Cherry Orchard team in 2026. And training times of the new section in the club will be going up on their socials over the next little while. And a big thank you, as always, to our group of Patreons who have supported the podcast all through 2025. And I was just looking at our list of Patreons, and there's around 25 of you who have been with us from our very first year, all the way back in 2021. It doesn't go unnoticed, guys, and thank you again for your support. Everybody that has been supporting the podcast with their Patreon, monthly subs, monthly contribution, whatever you want to call it, every month. Thanks a million, guys. And if you are listening, like what we do, get something from the podcast, do please pop over to Patreon, Trail Running Ireland, where you can support the show with the price of a gel per month. Okay, let's dial in Rennie for our final coaching slot of 2025. Rennie Borg from Running Coach Ireland. Rennie, great to have you on. Probably for our last show of the year, Rennie, and then we'll have our little Christmas break along with everybody else. Rennie, it's been a great year, and you know, in case I forget towards the end, thanks a million for all your fantastic coaching segments. We've all learned a lot. We've achieved a lot from everything that you've been passing on to us over the year. And lots of thoughts to bring with us going into 2026.
Yeah, it's hard to do a wrap-up of a whole year because there's so much, and you could do it on any number of topics, right? We could talk about the best race performances, the best new training inventions, the best new technological inventions, maybe the top questions or the top topics. So I suppose we're doing a little bit of a mixture, but we want to make the main part of the podcast just revisiting timeless principles, because it's not because we've never mentioned it before, but because they are things that you can't really hear enough, I think. And it's always good when you're coming to the end of any process where you have absorbed a lot of experience and a lot of information to just kind of do a quick recap. So that's what we're doing today.
And the topic that we have for today, Rennie, I think it's consistency and not perfection. That's the main topic that we want to discuss today. I think you're going to break it into four segments for us, four big takeaways for the winter and on into the new year. And there's a great quote that you gave me earlier on this morning, René, and it's consistency absolutely destroys intensity over the long term. And I can vouch for that myself, René, this year. I think, as I was saying over the last couple of podcasts, it's been a bad couple of months for me, a couple of injuries. And the injury came about from doing certain sessions too intense. And I should have just relied and had the confidence in my consistency over the last 5 years instead of falling into the trap of chasing numbers again.
Yeah, and as I said, we've already, I think, I don't, hopefully not bored the listeners, but we've mentioned to the listeners that, you know, this is something a lot of people do. We fall into it sometimes, but I think we're fairly good at stopping our own athletes from falling into it. But
Yeah.
we see the, you know, we see the temptation all the time. We see it in the type of questions that we get. You know, that people want to go out and prove themselves, and they want that validation that I'm really fit, you know. My training looks more and more impressive every week. But basically, it the people in our roster that have the best results are the ones that just keeps, you know. People use this word a lot today, showing up. But you know, you're not really showing up for a job. It's obviously important that you have that ability as well. You know, that you have the ability to get the shoes on, get out the door. But for a lot of the people listening and our clients, that's not the biggest thing stopping them. You know, they're not those types of people. It's actually that they go out with too much enthusiasm in individual sessions, and then that ruins their ability to show up 4 or 5 times a week every week. You know, whereas we can see the people who naturally are comfortable with that, and you know, where we nearly never get an email or a WhatsApp about anything beyond a small niggle, they're consistently high performers. You know, and they can kind of elevate themselves, or at least as even as they age, they can hold on, which is, you know, it's also a big thing, that you don't drop your intensity despite the fact, you know, that the age and the miles, you know, normally would catch up on you. So yeah, just that's a good line to remember, you know. And I don't think, I certainly don't think I invented it. I wish I could remember where I heard it, but when I heard it, you know, I just thought it's so true, you know, because yes, intensity has its place, but if it was like an arm wrestling match between the two, consistency is the winner.
Yeah, because I think everybody does think that performance comes from the big hitters, you know, your big tempo run on the trails, the epic sessions that we love to tell everybody about. But it's not like that at all, Vinny.
It's the opposite, probably, that the intense sessions show the effects of consistent training. You know, so when you have a great session, like, wow, it doesn't create anything. It just spends it. You know, and I'm being a little bit fastidious because, of course, an intense session has some kind of effect. But I think we've called it before, as Arthur Lydiard called it, you know, it's eye gloss, you know, or lip gloss or whatever. It's the final polish. But you're really just using it to show what you built with the consistency. And it's very, you know, as humans, we always look for patterns in all sorts of places. And sometimes it fools us. You know, that's we're doing book recommendations later. There's a book called Fooled by Randomness. I won't recommend it as a running book, but in general, it's a good book. You know, because we see these things, or we see intense workouts, we see the output, the splits, the heart rate, and we're like, wow, this is creating what I'm seeing. You know, but it's not. It's playing a very small role just in bringing it across the line.
Yeah, and you know the way that we coach our two squads, Rennie, that we have, you look after, I think, more the trail, the mountain runners. I do a lot of the work with the road athletes and the marathon athletes. And at the moment, the marathon, the Dublin marathon athletes, they're coming back from their recovery period post Dublin. They're doing a small base period, and over the next week or two, I might actually get them all to maybe go out and try, say, a park run or Christmas 5K. And what I'm doing with that is I'm just showing them that they don't need the big 5x1K sessions or the 10x400 meter sessions to run a very, very good 5K. It's their consistency over the whole summer and their good recovery post Dublin that will enable them to run a very good 5K over the Christmas period. And then we'll begin to build towards maybe a big jump in 30, 40 second improvement on their PB. But we can all run very, very well off consistency. And I remember, Rennie, you spoke before about one of your own athletes who, you know, is juggling various work commitments, family pressures, but they kept on doing their 40, 50 minute runs over the course of the week on week, month on month. They still put in a very, very good season.
Yeah, and that's our second kind of tagline to write on your whiteboard or your scrapbook or whatever you have ready for the new year. You know, it's done is better than perfect. And it's obviously an old one. I think it's been stated many different ways over the years. But it's basically to warn people against perfectionism because, as we know, perfectionism can lead to procrastination. Because, you know, if you don't want to do something until you find the best way or the best option or whatever it is, then quite often you spend so much time figuring out what to do that you don't do much, you know. And that means where, for instance, I've often found that paralysis is that I've been looking for the best, let's say, rehab system or the best, what could we call it, strengthening system, you know, the one that has the absolute pristine effect on the human body, because I could see, you know, which is this is always a curse when you have knowledge. You know, knowledge can reveal too many options to you, and then you just kind of look at it all and you're like, but none of these are perfect because I can see the flaws here. And then you don't, because you don't want to pick something that has a flaw, you're just kind of standing there, you know, waiting or looking, or you spend time seeing, well, they're all flawed, let me find another option. But time goes while you do that. So the whole idea is, look, if there's something that you can use right now, something you know, a routine, a workout, a prehab, a rehab, whatever it is, just do it. And then when you've done it, then you can do some more research if you have time on a better way to do it. You know, and it's the same thing with, I think sometimes even with something as simple as a run, we feel that if we can't train properly, we can't do the session that's in the plan, let's say. Yeah, I think the example we had is, you know, all I can do today, I might fit in 15 or 25 minutes easy. Some people they don't do that. They're like, oh, I can't do what I do. They kind of throw their toys out with the pram, and then they lose the whole day, and they lose a little step in that unbroken chain of consistency you want to create. Where really there, you need to be able to say, look, whatever I can do today, I do it, and I can be angry after over the fact that I missed out on what I really wanted to do. But at least I kept the chain of consistency, you know, and maybe I can fit it in when I have a little bit more headspace, when I calm down a bit. Maybe I can fit it in later the week. I'll speak to the coach, and he'll see. So I think you saw some similar examples to that as well over the year and the years past,
Yeah.
probably.
Oh, absolutely. And even my own training again this year, so I'm touching on it a lot in the last couple of podcasts because I'm still learning so much with my own training, Rennie, that I was perhaps looking for, yeah, that perfect strength and conditioning routine because, oh my God, I'm injured this year. I need to improve my strength and conditioning. Where after a couple of weeks of doing a new strength and conditioning routine, and the body was actually beginning to get achy because I was doing too much too soon. I just thought, well, hold on. You know, I wasn't injured for about 5 years. Maybe just go back to the routine that you had and just make sure that you get it done 2 or 3 times a week instead of maybe neglecting it because you're running so well. Go back to what the body knows well. And the body will always reward repetition as opposed to rewarding that perfect session. I'm sure you'd agree.
Yeah, exactly. Because we've mentioned before that our coaching framework and a lot of modern coaching frameworks, they're kind of what's called reactive periodization, you know, and there's this idea of train, don't strain, don't write your schedule in with a pen, you know, write it in pencil, you know, which means adjust to life, you know, finish something, even if it's small. That's another, obviously, you know, this is a task a lot of people use in other arenas of life to deal with projects that look very big and overwhelming, which, you know, a big running program can or a big session can, where obviously the solution is to chop it into smaller pieces, you know, and as you finish the small pieces, the bigger picture suddenly starts slowly to come into view a little bit clearer. But there's another thing in it as well, which is nearly, you know, it's better to learn from failure than from inactivity. You know, this kind of goes like with the poetic notion of it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all, right? And which everybody kind of understands what's meant by that. And I think that's because that's a very valid reason why some of us kind of say, no, look, I'm not going to do this routine that I have at the moment that I used to have, or this routine that I was given by my physio or whatever, because we look at it and we can see its flaws, that we think we're worried that it might actually hurt us, you know, it might push us in the wrong direction. But it's if we don't have an immediate replacement, isn't it? It's better to just try and do it, have the experience, learn something, and then you can kind of use that, you know, as a a way to get information about a better way to do it, rather than just sit there and think endlessly and try and solve the problem purely intellectually. You know, so but that way you create a loop of experiences that teach me something that adds to the problem I'm trying to figure out with my mind. You know, and that's definitely necessary for an athlete, because as part of the journey of an athlete is to understand your own body, you know, and you can't understand the body just by thinking about it. So that's I think that's obvious. And it's hard, it's hard because there's so many left-brainers. I'm probably one, I'm sure there's lots listening in this world, you know, where we so much of our schooling and upbringing taught us to kind of favor this kind of non-instinctive intellectual way of trying to take life apart, right?
Moving on to the third segment, Rennie, that we have. And it's again, it's a lovely dovetail. We're going from segment one to segment two into next into this next one. Progress, not perfection. That it's so important that we continue to try and raise the floor, not just the ceiling, over the course of the year. In other words, keep on working on that baseline. Don't fall into the trap of looking for that quick race to get a little boost for your ego. Spend as much time as you can at the core principles of good, successful training, which I think is what you want to talk about next.
Yeah, this is something we mentioned in the summer, you know, because the summer is such a tempting time when you've kind of done your longer term training, you've arrived at the first few races, you start to notice a few things aren't as good as you wanted them to be, and then you try to overcorrect, you know, straight away. So we had a tagline that said you need to raise your baseline, not your ego. And I think the problem is you raise your baseline mainly in winter or in the off season, and then that's what you have to kind of live with in the summer. You know, you have to accept, whether your ego likes it or not, that this is the baseline for this year. And you can probably improve it a few percent if you're really clever. But doing a lot of panic training and hero sessions and stuff like that is just going to break you faster. You know, so it's probably going to let, it's going to make your racing season fizzle out, or you're going to pick up an injury. So one thing that helps a bit is that thing we said, that one of the big new ways of thinking about fitness this year was the three-dimensional, they call it impulse response model. So that's recognizing that training stress isn't one-dimensional. You know, you have the aerobic, you have the anaerobic, for lack of better words, and neuromuscular loads that interact. So if you know, we've already, I think if you go back a few podcasts, we talk about how to kind of make sure that you manage all of them, you know, to make sure that you progress in small steps. And you know, for instance, it means that you try not to progress everything at once, right? So you just need to look for what is the kind of immediate priority that's most important, and then progress that to the next logical step. You know, and you can look at a lot of the metrics that are more consistency based, like your long run heart rate. You know, does that stay the same, but your pace improves? You know, that's a massive improvement in reality, although it mightn't seem that way when it goes. So this is what a lot of people call, you know, you're trying to raise your floor, not just your ceiling. And that's something you actually see in race performances, in that, yeah, okay, maybe the peak isn't quite at your dream level, but if you can notice that you're more consistent, you know, and you're consistently performing at a certain level, even on days when you're not great, you could actually overlook that is a very, very important progress. Because like, if you're a football team, it's no good that you can play an amazing match and then you lose two on the trot, you know. So that's the same thing you're looking for yourself.
It sounds like, Rennie, that it's so important to focus on a trend, hopefully an upward trend, that instead of looking at mile splits or kilometer splits or how quickly you went up that particular ridge or hill, you look at the trend over weeks and weeks. And one lovely way to do it, Rennie, is time on feet. As opposed to looking towards your mileage and your total kilometers for the week, because people do get obsessed with it. But of course, when we're on the trails and the mountains a lot, that number isn't as relevant. I think a much more healthy way to do it is to look at your trend in terms of how many days you're actually running over the course of the week and how much time are you running. And that might go from maybe 5 hours to 5.5 to 6 hours per week. And that just gives you a little bit more wiggle room in terms of, oh, I have to hit 50 kilometers this week, or I have to hit 50 miles this week, and therefore you're making bad decisions in terms of how fast you need to go to a particular run to hit a 10-mile target, or you need to do a run maybe when you're tired to hit a specific kilometer weekly target. So I think the key thing is to focus on the trend. Is the trend going upwards, and not focus on the exact details that might make us make wrong decisions.
Yeah, that's why we try and steer a lot of our clients from asking a lot about individual workouts, you know. And I think it quite often the earlier we work with clients, the more they tend to ask, you know, could you have a look at my last workout? Tell me what you think. Where in reality, the main answer is there's not a lot to see from a single workout. You know, it can be relevant around very few periods. Like if you're doing a breakthrough workout, you know, a very race specific latent training, or if you're doing a workout just after you change the training zones to see does it actually match up with the test results that you got, you know, or if you have had an issue for a while and you want to see does it look like I'm more or less back to normal, you know, in those scenarios that sort of question kind of makes sense. But generally it doesn't, because there's too much variation over each day. You know, you could have a bad day, so you look at that and you draw a conclusion. What does that mean? It means nothing. You know, so what matters, I say, is how many points do you have at the end of the season? You know, and that's so you look at consistency metrics. That's definitely something, because we do a run, we upload it to Strava, we go look, oh, how did I do on the segments? What was my heart rate for the pace? But you should look instead at, if you go with Strava, you know, look at how did it compare to all the other runs you ever did on that course. And you should look at it to say what's been your trend of volume? Is it slowly ticking up? How do you respond after runs? Do you feel like you're recovering quicker? There's less muscle soreness. So that's actually the things you should be paying like 90% or 80% to go Pareto. 80% of your time you should focus on those metrics, and then the other 20% you can focus on individual workouts or looking at something very specific. But I think a lot of people do the opposite, you know, because it's natural. You know, you get prompted nearly when it goes on your phone to, oh, take a look, make a judgment.
One of the my favorite athletes, René, sorry, one of my favorite conversations that I have with an athlete over the course of a year is when we look at their cruising pace, say their top end zone two, aerobic threshold, you might call it, where, you know, we work with our five zone system, where zone five is maybe 800 meter, 1500 meter pace. Zone four is 5K, 10K. Zone three, half marathon, marathon. And zone one, very much recovery pace. Zone two is kind of their bread and butter, aerobic conditioning. And it's a great conversation that when you sit down and when an athlete has been consistent over a 12-month period, and you might see their cruising pace go from maybe 5 minutes per kilometer. And over 12 months, Rennie, you could see maybe 30, 40 seconds improving, can't you? From 5, maybe down to 4:30, down to 4:20. And that's something that is a great reward for that consistency and making those decisions. And then ultimately, you know, if you're seeing big jumps like that, well, absolutely, are you going to be racing better as well? So people can often overlook the subtle changes month on month. But then when you look, say, over a long period of time, when you have that consistency, there's big rewards there.
Yeah, if you can measure that AT and LT goes down, that is going to be there in the race results. You know, sometimes when you get improvement in the higher metrics, it doesn't work like that. You know, you just look impressive maybe for 3 minutes, and that's it. You know, and it doesn't last as long. But another maybe very quick way to look at it is like when you're trying to lose weight, say, you know, you very few people would do that and weigh themselves every day. You know, they probably weigh themselves every week, I imagine, is the way a lot of people would do it. But even that, you could argue, I'm sure, is nearly too much, right? But you have to know how often it's reasonable to take a controlled look, because people understand with the whole weight analogy as well that there's so many things that vary. What did you eat the evening before? How much fluid do you have in your body? You know, all these sorts of things. And that obviously affects it. So if you're measured all the time, you get all this noise, and it can be really discouraging. Because you're like, oh Christ, you know, I thought I was so disciplined, and here I am, you know, it looks like I'm 100 grams heavier, you know. And that's re it's really the same. When we look at workouts daily and try and assess them, we're actually applying that mindset to our running, you know, and it's totally wrong.
Our final segment, Rennie, segment four. I think you wanted to mention a few books and maybe some key lessons that have emerged or even re-emerged over 2025.
Yeah, because there is, what do you say, there's always so many running books out there, but it's Christmas season. People might be buying some for themselves, for their friends, or to get in the Santa hat. And I did have a few that I read that I thought we'd mention. One is Running Tough. When I picked it up, I thought for a minute actually that it was about an Irish coach in America, because it's about a high school coach called Sean Brosnan. But he's an American native. So if I used to run a, I actually used to run with a runner called Sean Brosnan. I think it was on Crusaders. So that's probably why the name sounds familiar. But it's not him, in case he's out there listening. But it's written by the same guy that wrote Running with the Buffaloes, which was about the Colorado high school team, which was a terrific book. This is a really easy read, but it gives a great insight into what you need. He's kind of saying, anyone can actually put a half decent training plan together, but getting everybody to believe they can always continue to improve and doing what's necessary, that's a different matter. So that's kind of what the book is about, and it's told inside that context. So I think that's a nice quick read. If you're more like you want to deep dive, you want to really challenge or revisit the deep foundations of what do you say, running physiology and training. Then there's a new book out by John Walker about the marathon. This is not the famous Kiwi John Walker. I think, I don't know if he's
Ah,
actually
okay, I was
still.
going to say to you,
No,
yeah, the
I
John Walker
don't.
fan.
Yeah, exactly. He's a great athlete. I don't know John Walker if he actually still alive. I think he is, but it's not his book. So this is another John Walker, and he's come out with a massive big marathon book. It's a real tome, not quite Law of Running, but it's up there. So if you're into that, just go to Amazon, type in John Walker marathon book, and you're gonna get one there. It covers everything, and it's a lot of the very modern topics around it, including, for instance, this whole neuromuscular element to marathoning that we've been harping on about, and the whole idea that these three things need to be developed together, things like funnel periodization, as in attacking the marathon, both from an endurance and a speed perspective. So if you're really looking for the full lowdown of that, and you can take it into the trails, of course, that'd be the one, right? So they're kind of two new books this year that caught my eye.
Yeah, and all aligned, I think, with the philosophy, Rennie, that you've been talking to us about over the course of the year. Consistency, patience with our training, being smart and intelligent and strategic with our training as well. No shortcuts, no magic formulas. Just turning up, as our friend Ricky Wynn says, just keep on turning up to our training every day and every week.
And I actually made a mistake, so it's John Davies, not John Walker.
Ah,
And the
John Davies,
reason,
okay,
yeah,
yeah.
the reason I had that in my head is because Lydiard had a great Kiwi athlete called John Davies as well.
Ah,
And
okay.
when I first found this guy's website, I thought it was that John Davies, and only later did I realize it was a much younger man, because John Davies unfortunately did die young.
Okay.
So
And thankfully, John
John,
Walker is still alive, and I
he's
just double
still
check
alive,
there.
yeah.
Yes.
So a long.
A peer of our great world champion, Eamon Coughlin from back in 1983. They used to have some great battles, John Walker and Eamon.
So we have our Johns lined up now, but the book's called Marathon Excellence for Everyone.
Okay.
So
Okay.
you can look at that. Also, our friends at the Lydiard Foundation, Colin Robinson came out with a much kind of simpler book that I think a lot of beginners will enjoy, called Chatty Sparkly Running. And if people want a similar version to that from a trail running coach, there's one out called The Happy Runner. Okay, so I think that's probably enough. There's four good suggestions there that are a little bit all over the spectrum,
Super.
but you will find consistency, patience, intelligent training, no shortcuts, no magical formulas. All of that you'll find in those books.
Fantastic. Well, listen, Rennie, as we begin to close the door on 2025 and look forward to 2026, just a quick recap on those three principles that you went through today, and maybe one invitation for listeners as well. Number one, consistency beats intensity every time. Doing is better than perfect, as in just make sure that you're doing some form of good training. It doesn't have to be the perfect one. Show up every day, every week. Focus on progress, raise that base, raise that floor. And finally, Randy, a great one. Stay curious, read books, as you said, listen to a podcast, hopefully your own one over the course of the week, and let the off season allow the body to heal, regenerate. enrich the mind, gain knowledge, and maybe just to finish off, any final words or thoughts yourself?
Yeah, enjoy your running, man. So enjoyment is the engine for what you do. Consistency actually becomes effortless, and then progress becomes inevitable. You know, I think that's a good statement for it was true this year, and it'll be true in 2026.
Super. Well, listen, Rennie, thanks a million again. Hopefully, Santa Claus will be good to you with maybe an odd running present or two. Do you have any running items on your Christmas lists, Rennie, that you would like Santa to bring you?
Would it sound bad if I say I have everything I need at the moment? So,
Well, isn't that a great position to be in?
I actually can't. Yeah, I can't remember what I asked my wife to get for me. So that's pretty bad. But it might come back to me.
Very good, very good. Well, I've said to my wife Jenny here, can she get me a new microphone for the podcast to help improve the sound my side for 2026? So hopefully when we come back in 2026, the sound on my side might be a little bit clearer so our listeners can enjoy the podcast even more. René, thanks a million, mate. Enjoy your Christmas.
Thanks, Owen, and to everybody out there, we'll see you in 2026.
Bye, mate. Our special guest this week is a lover of the mountains who has just taken over the role of the presidency of the Irish Mountain Running Association. We've got Catherine in the park and we've got Liam on the mountains. Let's dial him in. Liam, thanks a million for coming onto the podcast. I know it's very, very busy for everybody this time of the year. So thanks for coming on and congratulations on the new role.
Congratulations or commiserations. It's a very fine line, I think.
I know, and I know
But
that
yeah.
You've been busy within IMRA for many years now, and I think you were a races coordinator last year, which I'm sure had lots of work involved in that particular position. So, you know, when the AGM was on there a couple of weeks ago and everybody was planning for 2026, did you find yourself that you wanted to volunteer for the president of IMRA for 2026, or were you encouraged maybe by other friends and members of IMRA to go for it? How did it come about?
So I've been on the committee for 3 years now. 2 years of that is the races coordinator, which I really, really enjoyed. It's a fantastic job. It gets you out meeting lots of people, gets you out in lots of different places. It's really, really good job, and it's sort of satisfying too when you see races, maybe, you know, new races and whatever come online, and then you see people talking about them afterwards, and you're kind of in the background, you sort of think yourself, oh, I had a little bit to do with that, you know. It's good
Yeah,
that
great.
way. So then I suppose from last year's AGM, the motion that was passed, which is a very good motion, to only have each position, only allow a person to sit in a position for 3 years and then have a 9 year total rule on the committee. Like, in other words, you do 9 years and you have to step off. And it's good because it means the committee then is constantly getting updated and new people. But it had a kind of a knock-on effect this year in that seven people were going off the committee in one go, which is a
Okay.
big turnover. Now, the previous 2 years was a very settled committee, but this year it was going to be seven people. And I kind of felt that the president really should come from a sitting member of the committee in a way to be able to bring the committee forward on the road that it was, the path it was on, if you know what I mean, or at least have some, you know, the same when it comes to it this year, if you know what I mean. So then I suppose I was talking to last year, the last couple of years, President Merriam, and she thought it'd be a good fit and all that, and I wasn't so sure myself for a long time, and I kind of in the end then decided I'd go for it. So yeah, here I am. So we'll see what the next year brings.
Yeah, and maybe then before we talk about your own love of the mountains and all the races that you've done, which is an incredible number of races, just to continue on the presidency in IMRA for a little while. For 2026, you touched on it there. It's about just continuing the journey that IMRA has been doing so well and, you know, organising so many fantastic races over the last couple of years. Do you see your role as just maintaining the ship on course, keeping everything ticking over nicely, or are there any areas or aspects of the role that you would like to bring new ideas to or new initiatives for 2026 to the IMREC calendar and everything else that goes on around it?
I suppose when you come to a role or a position like the president, you have to have ideas. You're going to come in with your own set of ideas and things you would like to do, but while continuing on exactly like IMRA is not broken, so why would you go and tamper with something that's not broken? It's working really, really well. Yes, there is things, there's stuff I see out into the future, like say our Western races are getting more and more popular, like Turlough Conwy has had the Northwest League for a good many years now, and it's getting bigger year on year. We had a Galway League this year, which Siobhan Kennedy has been a great find this year, and I think she's going to carry that on for next year and the year to come. So it's like, it's giving. I suppose I could see my president's role as to giving more time to that area and helping them, move on forward and getting their volunteers in and all the rest, and making sure that it's run just in, because it'll be like a regional, it'll be a separate region, hopefully eventually, that's way down the line, but to make sure that it's still in the same IMRA ethos, that we do the same stuff whether we're in Dublin or whether we're in Kerry or whether we're up in Galway, that the same IMRA standards go out through the whole country. So that would be one of my main, I suppose I had a big interest in Galway last year, so it's one of the things that would, but like there's loads to be done. Like there's a lot of work in maintaining the relationships we have with like the national parks and the Cuilte and with all our landowners, lands that we use. Like that's all constant work that's, ongoing, if you like.
I was going to say to you, like, are there any challenges that you foresee in 2026? For example, we saw in some of the cross-country races over the last couple of weeks being cancelled in Dublin, for example. Cross-country races being cancelled after a couple of days of rain, which is unheard of, which is really, really disappointing. Are there any challenges like that, Liam, that you foresee that you might have to deal with and that might give
Massive,
you
massive
a bit of
challenges,
sleep at
especially
night?
in the
Hopefully not
parks. And it's
many.
not a, I'm not fighting with the parks. I have a great relationship with them. It's IMRA learning that we have to have it in the back of our head that someday we will have to cancel a race. Like, basically, I've become a weather watcher for the last 2 years. I'm watching the weather from the Sunday or maybe the week before, looking at the long range, because there is races that happen on, like poor ground and stuff. So why they'd be fine in the dry, when you get 2 or 3 days of rain, they're not fine. And IMRA have to be big enough to know that we need to. We shouldn't be waiting on the national parks to come along and tell me we can't have that race. We need to make them decisions ourselves. We need to be able to look at the conditions and say, actually, that race should not go ahead. Whether we have a reserve race that's on better ground, whether we've picked a alternative route for that race, say Prince William Seat would be an example I could give you. If it's really, really bad weather, we shouldn't go to the summit. But the path over to the left that you would go up from the Wicklow Way is quite a sustainable path. So we just use that on the night instead of going to the summit. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, but it's about IMRA making them decisions, not to be told to do it.
To get back to the love of running and one of the reasons why you're such a strong member of IMRA over the years, Liam, maybe could you talk to us about, and especially for anybody that's listening new to the podcast, new to the world of mountain running, trail running, who maybe hasn't been to an IMRA race, maybe, Liam, could you tell us your own journey, where your mountain running career started, how you got involved at IMRA, and why what I've seen, Liam, is you turn up nearly week on week to race, to run, to enjoy the mountains. And one incredible stat, Liam, that I saw was that last year you competed in 42 races. So I might get to the performance aspect of that and how you managed to stay healthy. But maybe just to look at, where did the love of running come from, and what is it that you love about mountain running and IMRA itself?
So anyone that probably knows me any length probably knows where I came from. So I came from a GAA playing background, played GAA till I was 40 years of age, But I always reckoned there had to be something else to be done after GAA because you can't chase young fellas around the field forever. So I started doing a bit of adventure racing first, biking and running, whatever. And of course, Peter O'Farrell was king of the hill in them days, probably still is king of the hill, to be honest with you. But anyway, he was king of the hill in them days, and he'd be looking up. And so then I found Imre through adventure racing because I wanted to obviously practice mountain running for, I was going down to do Gale Force West, so I wanted to practice a few mountains. So I found Imre that way. I suppose a bit of Googling or but whatever and whatever. Yeah. And then started into that, and then I was doing a lot more adventure racing, and then realized I didn't love the bike, but I absolutely love mountain running. So the bike, it kind of went in the shed, and the mountain runners went on, and kind of the distances got longer and longer and longer for a while, and it was all sort of ultra running and stuff like that. And the last couple of years, then I've been sort of trying to just get back to running everything, running as much as I can when I can. And that's really the way. I'm a little bit injured at the moment, but I'm hoping to get back in the new year. And that'll be my plan, is just to run whatever I can.
Well, it sounds like, Liam, that you're maybe naturally robust. I mean, if you were still playing football up until you were 40, that shows that there's a natural strength there. I know you said you have a little bit of an injury now, but say to get through a full race year last year, 2024, with so many races done. I mean, I'd love to run 42 races. I wish I could, but I know for me it's just not sustainable. During 2024, what were the keys to that successful calendar of so many races? Anything you can share with us in terms of recovery, strength and conditioning, the ability to race week after week?
So I'm always telling the likes of the fast fellas like Conor Nolan and, Andy Keeling and all them lads. I'm always saying you can't be racing week in, week out. I can turn up and I can run. So if them 40 odd races, I probably raced like six races in that year. Do you know what I mean? And there were probably Leinster Championship races where, they might have the bit of nav or the bit of route picking in where I would be like a little bit closer up the field than what I normally would be. But I have the ability, I can go out and enjoy just running. I know there's a lot of people have to go to the max as soon as they, where the saying, where there's a line, there's a race. I kind of have come to the stage where I'm happy to just run. Now I will, when I compete, I will be as competitive as anybody else, but I just probably raced six of those races in the year, but enjoyed every one of them too, having said that.
Well, isn't that great that, again, for people listening that haven't been to an Imber race, that that you wanted to go on a Saturday or on a Sunday, wet morning, whatever it might be, in a Wednesday evening after work, just to go and be part of the family, of the race family, and just have a nice run and not necessarily feeling that you had to race every race, which is fantastic. Liam, any highlight, any favorite race over the last couple of years?
So my personal running favorite races in Imre, the running races would be the Glacier Lakes or Stonecross the Lug. The two of them races would be probably by far my favorite running races. Anything Leinster Championship wise is always a great race, I suppose. Favorite races in the last couple of years, so favorite races I've been involved in, as the races coordinator. Probably Church Mountain is probably the top of the list there because it came from basically going knocking on doors and asking farmers, can we use your mountain for a race on a Wednesday evening? And them agreeing to it and getting everything sorted that needed to be sorted, finding a park and field, all of that kind of stuff. But then when it comes together and people love it, handed it over to the Lakeshore Striders and got Liam Mooney to RD it, and he turned it into an absolute colossus. Like it was like it nearly had a story attached to it. There was a horse started the race off last year. A girl on a horseback started the race off. Amazing. There's a video of it up online. Like amazing race it turned into. But that would probably be my favourite race of the last 2 years that I, was involved with the organizing of, or with the creating of, if you like, or the not the creating, creating's the wrong word, with the, I suppose it was a bit of a vision and, to go and make it happen then. That's one of the more satisfying ones.
Fantastic. Like what you're describing, Liam, is it really encapsulates, I think, the whole ethos of Imre.
that yes, you get the race, and you mentioned, of the 42 races last year, you maybe race six of them hard. But then, I'm hearing you talk about going knocking on doors, asking farmers for permission to do their a race on their land. And, for anybody that does turn up to the races, that, hopefully they do realize, and I'm sure everybody does, that there is that team of volunteers there, like yourself and the committee, that are going knocking on doors and dealing with national parks to get permissions, and that that volunteer aspect of IMRA, it's a very important role, and I'm sure it's great to be part of that team.
Yeah, I think in the Dublin, Wicklow area, and maybe and Munster as well, it's known that IMRA is purely like a 100% voluntary organisation. Like, but I think when we started setting up in Galway and out in the west or whatever, I think there was sort of like a feeling that like IMRA was like a commercial, a commercial event organiser. But then people are slowly then realising actually, these are just ordinary people that are the RD of this race. Like they're turning up to help us run. So it's just trying to, it's a constant, I suppose it's one of the battles with IMRA and the committee on the IMRA is trying to keep the word out there that it is purely voluntary. And you know what? Like it'd be great if everyone put their hand up and took their turn, because then it takes the pressure off the 20%, say, or the 20% of the IMRA population that do a lot of volunteering. Do you know what I mean? Like, so like even if only a couple of hundred people put their hand up next year and say, oh, I'll help out with that, that's allowing the people that are really, really regular volunteers to run a bit more, So it's like it's we're never we're luckily in Dublin and Wicklow and down in Munster, they're kind of the same. They're doing well on volunteers, but we're always looking for more. We're always looking for people to come forward, and whether it's to help out the car parking or to do an RD training course and then go and pick a race in RD. If it's anywhere, the volunteering can come from anywhere.
And the cost of entry is so reasonable and fair,
Yeah.
isn't it? I mean, give us a quick range of how much a race might cost from the shorter ones to the longer ones. It's such good value for money as well.
Yeah, so like the general Wednesday night race, or the Winter League race, they're 7 euro a race. Now we did at the end of last year, we had a debate as to whether we were going to up the race fee. We are upping the membership fee. It's purely to maintain the basis of being able to run, pay your insurance, pay all the bills that are coming in for IMRA. It's nothing to do with looking to get a heap more money out of people. It's just that's the way inflation has gone, or the way the world has gone. Stuff's costing more money, but we decided to leave the race entries alone. So, like your standard 10K race is going to set you back 7 quid on a Wednesday night. Like it's an online payment. The trouble on the Wednesday nights is the national park races have a 200 cap on them. So it's like it's sometimes getting like winning the lotto, getting an entry into some of the Wednesday night races. Now the ones that aren't National Park, in the National Park, they're open right till the Wednesday lunchtime, I think, of the race. And then the other races, then after that, like you've the half marathon series in Leinster, they're at 20 quid a go. Like it's still not a, certainly not a dear race, and you get your sandwich at the end of it and whatever else you get. You get an odd ice cream somewhere during the year in the Leinster League as well. So it's not about making money. It's about having. So we have to have all the right stuff in places, our insurance and all that. But it's about, I suppose, it's giving, it's for everybody. That's what we want it to be for. We want it to be inclusive. We want it to be for whether he's, a CEO of a company or a whatever, like me, that's out working all day. It's still cheap to go and run an IMRA race.
Liam, one of my favorite memories is back in 2022 and the World Masters Mountain Running Championships that IMRA organized so well. The local team down there did such a brilliant job. I think there was about 600 athletes in about, what, 25, 30 different countries, and Ireland did so well on the medal table that weekend. Are there any whispers, Liam, of any other big international event that IMRA would like to organise over the coming years, whether it's a European or maybe another World Masters, or even is it something that the committee can take on? Because I know a hell of a lot of work went into the World Masters Mountain Running Championships that year. Anything in the oven cooking away, Liam.
There's to be honest, there's not. It's I suppose, good one there. I suppose so. The last time the Masters was here, so Trish and Tom Blackmore Day took that on and kind of ran with it. You know, obviously got the backing of the committee and all the rest of it, but it really came from them, and the fundraising and all the rest of it came from them. You know, it was they did a lot of work in it. So I suppose if someone was to come forward and, you know, have an idea, the committee will certainly listen to it, that's for sure.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, listen, Liam, I won't keep any more, mate. I know you're busy there today. It's been lovely to chat to you, Liam. I can see that you're going to be a fantastic president. You know, we can all hear the energy and the enthusiasm and the love for the mountains that's there. So, Liam, listen, best of luck with it, mate. And here on the podcast, we'll be here for you for whatever we can do. Because, as I said, IMRA, it's such a wonderful volunteer organization that puts on so many great races over the course of the year, and then of course has the international side of it as well, between developing future Irish stars and of course bringing senior teams to world and European championships as well. It covers all the bases. So good luck to yourself and all the committee in 2026.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Well, there we have it, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed that chat with Liam, and good luck to all the IMRA committee, as we're saying, and all its members, lots of whom listening to the show. Good luck, guys, with your training and your racing into the early new year. A quick reminder before I go to use that code FUELUP, uppercase or lowercase, for 10% off all of your sports nutrition and supplement needs on Irish store newleafonline.ie, where mountain runner and proud UTMB finisher Mairead O'Keefe and the team will be more than happy to help you out, and we'll get those Christmas gifts out to you very, very quickly indeed. Or if you're listening, guys, post Christmas, you've got up to December 31st to use that code FUELUP. Everybody, for now, happy Christmas. Get your running gear on. Let's go.